Before I do my sermon, I want to tell you a little story about this song, this hymn. This hymn was written by a man by the name of Horatio Spafford. He was from Chicago and was a businessman in Chicago and was going to be moving to London to take up business in London. Shortly before they moved to London, his youngest child, his only son, died. And as they were going through that grief and preparing to move, he sent his wife and two daughters on to London ahead of him while he took care of some final business. His wife and daughter were approaching the coast of London, there was a storm. The ship sunk and his two daughters died. Only his wife survived. And he got the message in a cable from his wife, "I alone survive." And the following day, he wrote this song. God brings joy even in the midst of difficult situations. This is not a song that's written when somebody's life is going wonderful. It's a song that reminds us that even in the most difficult times, God is with us. Our sermon text for today comes from the book of Luke. Luke, the 21st chapter, verses 5 through 19. Luke chapter 21, 5 through 19. Signs of the end of the age. Some of his disciples were remarking about how the temple was adorned with beautiful stones and the gifts dedicated to God. But Jesus said, "As for what you see here, the time will come when not one stone will be left on another. Every one of them will be thrown down." "Teacher," they asked, "when will these things happen, and what will be the sign that they are about to take place?" He replied, "Watch out that you are not deceived, for many will come in my name, claiming I am he, and the time is near. Do not follow them. When you hear of wars and revolutions, do not be frightened. These things must happen first, but the end will not come right away." Then he said to them, "Nation will rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom. There will be great earthquakes, famines, and pestilence in various places, and fearful events and great signs from heaven. But before all this, they will lay hands on you and persecute you. They will deliver you to synagogues and prisons, and you will be brought before kings and governors, and all on account of my name. This will result in your being witnesses to them. But make up your mind not to worry beforehand how you will defend yourselves, for I will give you words and wisdom that none of your adversaries will be able to resist or contradict. You will be betrayed even by parents, brothers, relatives, and friends, and they will put some of you to death. All men will hate you because of me, but not a hair on your head will perish. By standing firm, you will gain life." This is the word of God for the people of God. We live in a very blessed time. We live in a very blessed country, a country where we have freedom to believe as we choose to believe. Now, some of those freedoms and beliefs are being pushed. I wouldn't say they're being infringed upon, but we're getting more and more grief. For a long time, being a Christian in the United States was very, very easy because everybody claimed to be a Christian. Everybody belonged to the church just about. But now things have changed. The church is not such a highly looked upon place. A lot of people think very negatively about the church. A lot of people think that Christianity is a religion where we hate everybody who's not like us. Everybody, not everybody, but people think that we look down our nose at other people. And in some respects, the church deserves that. Because there have been times in our history where we have looked at other people and said, "You're not like us. We're much better than you are. We follow God." The problem is, going to church and being a member of a church is not what God is interested in. Those are not bad things, but what God is looking for is people who believe wholly in Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. And to do that, you have to be willing to give up everything for Him. And that's a difficult thing in our country because we have so much. I want to tell you a story. It's not a story. It's when I came in my life to understand how much it cost to be a Christian. I was in the Navy, in the military, on a submarine, underneath the polar ice caps. And I was back in the engine room doing a really disgusting job. I was cleaning the lube oil purifier. Now think of all of your cooking oil, and after you've used it for a couple of days, put it in a pan and start running it through filters and then take all of that junk out and get rid of it. That's what I was doing this night. So I like to think about other things while my hands were working in that slimy mess. And I came to a couple of realizations. First of all, we were under the polar ice caps, which means if something happened, there was no place to go but down. We couldn't get up through the ice. So one of the questions I'm always asked when people find out I was on submarines is, what do you do if a submarine sinks? And I say, oh, that's easy. You die. And it was at this time in my life that I came to understand what that truly means. Because as I stood there, it became very real to me that if something happens, I'm going to die. And you may think that that's a horrible thing to come to understand, but it's not. It's actually one of the most freeing things in the world. Because once you come to understand that you could die, then you can truly live. Because death is what scares most of us. Most of us are afraid to die. Even those of us who are Christians, because death is a scary thing. Even though we know that for us death is but a doorway to step into something greater, to be with Jesus Christ, to dwell with Him. But until you dwell with it face to face in your life, you're never really free from that fear of death. And as I stood there thinking about this, a passage came to my mind. And it was the passage of Jesus walking on the water. And as I thought about it, you know, Jesus calmed that sea. And I thought, if Jesus can calm the sea, He's in control of the sea, no matter where I'm at, He's with me. And I wasn't worried about dying anymore. And I Death doesn't hold any fear. Death doesn't hold a fear if we understand that no matter what we face in life, God stands beside us. And part of the reason that I came to understand this was going through my mother's death from cancer. And seeing a woman who, when she got cancer, weighed 150 pounds, and when she died, weighed 74. And she smiled. How in the world can you smile? She couldn't walk into the drugstore to get her prescriptions without stopping three times to sit down and rest. Yet she smiled. She held her first grandchild, knowing she would never see him grow up, and she smiled. What she had understood is what I learned years later was death isn't something to be afraid of because of what God offers us after death. We as a church, we as Christians must come to understand that there is nothing that can separate us from the love of Jesus Christ. Because once we come to understand that, then there's nothing to be afraid of. There are people who say, well, I'm afraid to talk to people about Jesus. Why? Are you afraid they won't like you? What makes you think they like you now? We need to understand that if we truly love other people, if we truly care about other people, we're going to share with them the message of Jesus Christ. I don't mean attack them. I don't mean beat them up. I don't mean degrade them, but share with them the Jesus that you know. A Jesus that says, I love you. And no matter where you go, whether it's to the bottom of the ocean or into outer space, I'll be with you. And I'll be your God. In this passage, Jesus tells us that when we come upon hard times, don't worry about it. God will give you the words to say. I've talked to so many people who were afraid to talk to other people and just decided they would let God lead them and allow them to. One woman told me she was sitting on a Greyhound bus and she had a bracelet on that had Jesus on it. And the person sitting with her noticed it, and they began to talk about it. And it was an opportunity for her to witness to that woman. She could have said, oh, it's nothing. But she didn't. If we're afraid of Jesus Christ and telling other people about him, then we truly don't know how to live. Because there is nothing that this world can take from us. Nothing at all. If I die, I don't lose. I win. Because Jesus Christ is my Savior. He's my Lord, and I will go to be with him. I've been thinking about something. And I talked to Kim and Donna and some of the people in the church about it. For Advent this year, our theme is going to be Come Home for Christmas. And our goal is going to be to fill this church with people who are not sitting here right now. Showing them the love of Jesus Christ. That's going to be your job. I want you to invite people. I want you to talk to people. I want you, if you're afraid, if you're nervous, ask God for strength and guidance. Our world is wandering away from Jesus Christ and faith in him. There are many people in this community who need to know about Jesus, some who've never heard. It's time they came home, so that when it's time to go home, they go to be with Jesus. Isn't that our goal? Isn't that what the church is about? About bringing people to the place in their life where Jesus Christ is their Lord and Savior. It's time we as a church stood up and without fear said, Jesus Christ is my Lord, and I will serve him. And there is nothing that you can do that will keep me from him. They may take our lives. I'm okay with that. I was willing to give up my life for this country. I am so much more willing to give up my life for Jesus Christ. May Jesus live in you, that your only desire is to serve him. Amen.